Hello, horse lovers, and welcome to this next episode where we're going to talk about how to get there quicker. Maybe you already know the answer to that. Indeed, a big old hunk of a chunk of it is go slower. Listen, when I speak to you right now, the sound is coming into your ears almost instantaneous signal to your brain. Instantaneous. If you're deaf or a deaf person or have partial hearing and you have learned body language, you first have to look at what's being said through the body language. Then the message gets relayed to the brain. Then you're able to respond. The response is slower. So, let's say, I'm going to talk about my horse training here. So, 80% of my horse training is body language, of which 20% is supported by vocal cues. Actually, no, I'm going to put that on 15%. 15% is supported by vocal cues. So that means the body language part, with repetitions, the horse can almost, it's like it's almost the same as if they were hearing it. They learn to respond in an instant. But that's because it's practiced, it's rehearsed. But in the beginning, by going slowly, I've explained to the horse, this is what my body is saying. Can you respond? If the horse is given the correct response, fantastic. If not, the question is re-asked. Sometimes I'm asking the question the wrong way around. I have to look at what I'm doing in order to get the correct answer from the horse. I'm explaining it to the horse slowly in order for it to look like and appear it is much faster later. In order to teach vocal cues, and I actually only use a couple of words and mostly sounds. I've got click for trot, two clicks for canter. I've got energy signals, so breathe in for energy. If I breathe in quite hard, it's an intense energy, so that means maybe go into the canter. If I exhale, it means slow down. If I blow out hard, it means stop on the spot, stop in your tracks. And that stop on the spot in the beginning was taught in the walk to the halt, and then eventually from the trot to the halt, and later the canter to the halt. But a very slow explanatory process towards the horse, where I can't give specific timelines for anyone, because as I've spoke about in previous podcasts, I like to think of each horse as their own individual character. You also then have to monitor the experience of the human, what their knowledge is already, experience of the horse, what their education and understanding of what is expected of them already. There is so many kind of, you know, values, indicators even, that you can't give specific timelines on. It wouldn't be fair to. But all I do know is, if you learn how to explain something to a horse and understand that sometimes they need more than just the half second you're giving them to hear it, maybe, and depending on what that subject is, they might need 5 seconds, they might need 10 seconds, they might even need a couple of minutes to even process the information. I just know that once we allow the horse the time to do that, they will start to understand and you will get there quicker. So here's something I find is a nice example, and that is teaching a horse, for example, to hunt the jump. So especially like in groundwork these days, you've got people using small areas, small arenas, round pens, picaderos, fenced off areas where they can do their groundwork. And if the horse is loose, it's possible. Or if they got loose, you know, the horse is going to stay quite safe. And one of the most common things people do is either free jumping or, you know, have poles, grid work, so trotting poles out. And the jump or the jumps, or the poles, the trotting poles, the walking poles, or whatever they're using them for, are laid close to the fence. So what that means is the horse actually has no choice but to go over the jump, go over the poles. They're not given the opportunity to learn and think about what they're doing and why. And I don't know. This where this goes wrong is, you know, it can cause an accident. A horse can step and sprain a fetlock. Worse, he'll even get a tendon injury. But usually when people use, you know, poles, jumps, stuff like that, extra pressure starts to come on the horse. They start to push that horse. Oh, you must go around, you must jump. So what it's also doing is, if you can really think about this, it's also telling the horse to think more outside of the area they are in. They start to look out, they start to get bracy. Some horses will even turn around and go back the other way just to avoid the questions of their humans. Some horses just shut down, disconnect. Some horses kick out at their humans because they're sick of the pressure that's being thrown at them. This even happens just without jumps and poles, by the way. This is just a general thing too, which I see happen way too often. But going back to hunt the jump, so how about we teach the horse to use its brain? And as a matter of fact, if it's going to go over a jump, hunt the center. Did you know that you can teach horses this? Did you know that every single horse on the planet, including your own, can do that? It's just that you just need to know how to teach them that. If I keep acting like an idiot every single time my horse approaches a jump, they're going to start wondering why I'm acting like an idiot and start to hate jumping. You know, if I shoo-shoo them over some trotting poles when the striding was out and the distance was too wide for a pony or too narrow for a horse on the first instance and they've not really done much grid work in the past, they're going to start to hate it. You really can explain things to horse in such a way that not only will they remember next time because they have a fantastic memory, they will even look forward to it next time. If I'm introducing a young horse, or any horse really, to grid work, I will start with one. Just one. A couple of rounds one way, a couple of rounds the other way, making sure they're going through the centre, making sure that that pole is not against the fence, giving the horse a choice, an option. Then I'll introduce another, and then I'll introduce another. If I've got the poles in kind of off of the wall, so that means on the inside track so that the horse can go around them against the wall, I'll have them about a meter and a half in. This also creates me at least three different circle lines. I've got the inside circle, so the one that comes on the inside of the poles. I've got the one around the outside of the poles, and I've got one over the poles. And if I make the subject about the poles being the very far last thing I want the horse to go over, the pressure is minimized and the horse will actually look forward to the setup of actually going on the inside, around the outside, and maybe over the poles. Because we're direct line thinkers. We're constantly thinking about what can we get, what can we do, how can we have it, how can we, how can we get pleasure? Whatever it is that's going on in our heads, we have to do it and we have to do it now. We're not thinking about the outcome, especially when it comes to horses. We're not thinking, hey, maybe if I do it this way and maybe I do it that way, it takes the pressure off my horse and he's going to actually start to enjoy doing what I ask and stuff like that. So it's the same with the jump. If I have the jump 2 meters off of the track and I send the horse towards, and just a little jump, of course, in the first instance, and I do the inside circle, I do the outside circle, and then I send the horse to the jump. and the horse stops. What I'm not going to do is get after that horse with a shitload of pressure to say, get your ass over that jump because I said so and you must do that and that's because how I've seen it in the books and that's how all the other girls do it. No, I'm not going to do it. What I'm going to do is redirect the horse and ask it to come around the other way. If it has trouble, then I might lower the jump or even just have the pole on the ground again and show the horse that way. Break it down for them because, look, they're super smart, super intelligent. If you just show them how much you care and that you are putting their thoughts and feelings and values first, they will trust you more and they will jump higher than you have ever anticipated they could or would. All horses can jump, even the draft horses, even the Shires, even the Shetlanders. So if we teach them through ways that we're reaching their mind, reaching their heart, you're going to get way more fulfilling time with them, trust me. Wait, just yesterday, you know, I was pretty angry in the sense that, come on, this is a place where I keep my horses and I almost could let it send me crazy because there was a horse in the paddock where one of my horses live and both sides of its body where the leg of the rider is completely bald. Now this horse has been clipped but the hair has started to grow back and there's just bald patches there with a little bit of soreness to it. Now that's not come from the blanket, that's not come from other horses, that's come from kick, 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 knack, 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 with either their boots or what I kind of guess is spurs. If you are leaving spur marks on your horse, I don't know what for, to compete in a low level competition where complete strangers are judging you to give you feedback so that you can please your friends and you're leaving bald marks on your horse, that horse just really, really, really does not deserve you. They did, I don't know what they did on the planet to be ended up with you. So please, people, let's really start to think about if I can break things down, isolate them and train them to my horse in such a way that everybody feels better. Not only will you start to get there quicker, you're going to put years on your horse's life rather than take them away. You know, my horse, Lenny, I experimented with him when he was a youngster, when I was just first starting out riding him. What I did was I showed him every single letter in the arena. So we're talking 20 by 40. All King Edward's horses can run very fast. Okay, so the 20 by 40 arena, show him the letters. So that means going down the center line, coming across the diagonal, coming across the half line and stuff like that. And quite literally stopping his nose, for example, at C. Stopping his nose at E. Really using different patterns and showing him to stop. I tell you, right up until this day, he has not forgot. I can ride on my neck rope and I can literally just focus my gaze on a letter, let's say the letter K, and he will literally head straight towards it because I've explained him exactly where the school letters are. How does he know where them letters are? Because I would head to that letter, straight on, stop, rest, and let the horse process and think about it, and then move on. Sometimes I would show all of the letters in one day, and other times I would just show two or three. And over a period of months, he had the most straight line down that center line you would not believe. And all I see, especially in competitions, is people struggling to get that horse straight down that center line. If they were just to teach the horse the lines and allow them to process and rest, which actually feels like it's going slower, but at the end it would definitely get you there quicker, the horse will take you to the letter. The horse will show you what a straight line looks like, because I tell you, they can really do straight lines if they want. And remember, horses are incredible pattern animals. They know patterns, they can learn dressage tests, they know what time of the day it is, even though they don't have a clock, they learn through patterns of routine. they've got a fantastic memory in terms of, you know, going on a trail ride. You can do a trail for 20 miles every single day if you wanted to. But if there's changes on that trail, the horse is going to remember them. So use that intelligence right there. Think about it. If the horse is that smart, if the horse is so impressionable, I can actually turn that around in order to get there quicker. And to be honest, who wants to get there quicker anyway? At what cost? There is, you know, there is no value in destroying our horses for the want of what? A rosette. To be pleased by other people. To be aspired by. Whatever, whatever. I don't know. I'm losing my words there now because I'm getting tired. We're now recording podcast number 7. So I hope this makes sense. How to get there quicker, go slower, get educated, learn how to break things down, learn how to isolate them, and you will get there quicker, I promise you. The only time you might not get there so quick is, of course, when you're acquiring new knowledge and you need to allow yourself and your time, your body, the time to express it, excuse me, to ask it, to give it in such a way so that the horse can understand. And if it's not working, don't give up. Don't blame the method, the training, the tools, the technique, whatever. Practice it more. I find that happens often as well. Some people will be practicing something. They haven't really put their heart into it yet. They haven't really even mastered it yet. And then they start to blame it that it's going wrong or it's not working or it's not good for their horses. Sometimes that is the case, huh? Don't get me wrong. Sometimes that just is what that is. But as far as my training is concerned, if that's happening, it means to me you haven't practiced enough, your heart's not in it, or you don't have enough knowledge. So always, 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 please, guys and girls, make sure you have enough knowledge. So I'm going to stop rambling now and leave you in peace. Podcast is reaching 18-minute mark now, so I'm going to head off and have a nice cup of tea. So with all that said and done, I really hope you are having a great day or evening wherever you are.
You have been listening to Zoe's Horse Bites podcast. Powered by Get Good With Horses courses and online training academy by Zoe Code.